I had a dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we'd hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun. Permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent. Although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate. And your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press. And you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm and keep our country deep in debt. Put men of God in jail. Harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn. And your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? O sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you were asleep and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave? Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave? God bless you, and God bless this republic.
Okay, Skype, this is Fred Smart. Welcome back. On a Wednesday, we have hopefully Elaine's going to be calling in here, and or Ed Brown. This is such a wonderful blessing to have this 1 hour each day to touch base with Elaine. Elaine.
Hi, Fred.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
How are you? Very good. Very good,
good.
Thanks.
Good.
Elaine, before we get into the commercials, we have one or two women who are going to be coming on who were recently arrested at the local Keene, New Hampshire IRS office.
Oh, really?
And we'll messages.
So apparently we've got two women coming up.
Rally around the flag, boys, rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom. Rally from the hillside, gather from the plain, shouting the battle cry of freedom. fighting the battle.
Okay. Welcome back. Elaine Brown's on the line. Elaine, you still there?
I'm still here, Fred.
Okay, Elaine, we have Kat Canning and hopefully her friend Lauren Canario, who were featured in a local recent video up on YouTube all across the Internet called Arrests at the IRS Office. So they were inspired not only by the act of you and Ed doing what you're doing, but David Ridley last week. Welcome, Kat, to our show with Elaine Brown.
Hi, Fred. Hi, Elaine.
Hey, Kat. How are you? How you doing?
I'm okay.
How's Fred? Lauren okay?
Yeah, everything's okay.
Are you both here?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Oh, Lauren, you're on too.
That's right.
All right. Well, Lauren, I've seen your face in a lot of these videos that have gone through Ed and Elaine's house, so I'm sure you're no stranger, and it sounds like, Kat, you know Elaine very well. So I just thought what you did last week or a couple of days ago was really cool, and it was posted on YouTube, and it was just a very, very simple, direct, elegant example. Can you describe how this all came together? You had a lot of support from a lot of people.
Well, last week, our friend Dave Ridley was tossed in jail for having handed out a flyer in an IRS office. The flyer said, is it right to work for the IRS? And suggested that maybe some of the things the government is doing are bad and people shouldn't work for the IRS. And it took 9 months, and they finally tossed him in jail for 4 days.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't very happy about this or all the stuff that's been happening to Ed and Elaine. So I decided to go into the IRS office also and just hold a sign that said, taxes pay for torture. And Lauren came up with me, and we both wound up getting arrested.
Yep, and I wasn't holding a sign. I was just standing there waiting for the clerk to wait on me and got arrested anyway. I was wearing a V for Vendetta mask, though, so they didn't like that too much.
Okay.
Oh, you guys are too much. I didn't quite get that, Kat. What did the sign say?
Taxes pay for torture.
Okay. And they arrested you guys for that. Oh, my.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to talk to the clerk at the office either.
So what happened when you were arrested?
They gave us tickets for $250 and let us go. So when we don't pay those and don't show up for court, they'll come and have to haul us in again.
Oh, too much.
And Lauren,
is Dave still in jail?
He was in for 4 days. He's out now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just don't get any news anymore, so, you know, bear with me on that. Yeah.
Well, the beauty of what you guys did is you documented this event, and it was very, very well done. Now, who did that job?
That was Ian Bernard, a host of Free Talk Live, another radio program, and he did all the camera work.
I tell you, he did a wonderful job, Elaine. They had several people support them with many signs, and there was a gentleman dressed in orange with a sort of a black torture bag, sort of a reminiscent of Abu Ghraib, that prison in Iraq. What happened, and so they were all aligned, and all of you didn't go inside the office, just you, Kat, and Lauren went in?
Yeah, Ian came up with us, but they wouldn't let him film up there, and he only got to stay because he insisted he was press.
Okay. Mm. And now, Kat, was Homeland Security involved, or late? I didn't really get the connection there.
Yeah, Homeland Security is in charge of protecting the federal buildings. So they came, and they were the ones that arrested us.
Oh, they arrested you.
Yeah.
So not just anybody, either. It was the commander of the three states of New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine who came and arrested us.
Wow. The big cheese. Wow.
Our very dangerous act of civil disobedience that we did.
Wow.
Oh, you terrorists. You terrorist boy. Got to watch out for you guys. Yeah, it's funny. When Fred said that two women had been arrested, I said to Ed, I bet Lauren's one of them. You got more jail time racking up, Lauren. Oh, God love you.
Well, Lauren gave him fits. She refused to tell him who she was, or she refused to walk. They had to carry her around. They had to spend a lot of time trying to look up in their databases who she was.
Yeah, I like to make them their day a little bit tougher, so maybe at the end of the day they'll figure, oh, this isn't worth it anymore. I'll get another job.
Oh, too funny. You guys are great.
Isn't that inspiring, Elaine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful when people do this. How's Russell Cat? Is he okay? Is he free at the moment?
Yeah, Russell's free. He was in the outfit with the bag over his head, you know.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Well,
he was our torture prisoner.
Okay.
So they didn't arrest him, just you two, huh?
Right. I made him promise not to get arrested.
That is just a really, really great story.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is spread throughout the community, just not on the net. Have you gotten more feedback, Kat and Lauren, on this from what you've done?
Yeah, there's been comments on the YouTube video of the event, and I think there's people from all over the country that are saying, hey, that's great.
Yeah, you guys are stars. In my book, you guys are bigger than Hollywood stars right now.
I'd say Ed and Elaine are the superstars here.
No, they're
I agree.
You're in the star class. That is funny. Wow.
Yeah, well, that's great.
And there's a whole bunch of these people that have come through, not only the Free State Project, New Hampshire Underground, and NHFree.com is the website. I wanted to plug that. Dave Ridley and you guys, there's just a lot of great on the ground of New Hampshire doing these wonderfully, just very, very insightful humor is involved here. It's just a dry New England humor.
did they charge you guys with a specific crime?
Yeah,
they charged us both with failure to comply and disorderly conduct.
Failure to comply. With what?
Failure to comply with leaving the office.
Oh, I see. You were told to leave and you didn't leave, is that it?
That's right.
Oh, God. You're a dangerous pair.
Well, I'd like to give people tips on what to do if they're arrested and they really don't have anything to do for a couple days, and they want to, you know, completely tweak the police and the jail's system.
Okay.
Just refuse all their orders. Don't just go limp and make them carry you everywhere. Personally, I'm kind of small, so when they put the handcuffs on me, they weren't very tight, so when they put me down, I got out of the handcuffs, and they said, we're going to charge you with arrest, or with escape. And they didn't, though. They just found a smaller pair of handcuffs. And even though I made all the trouble I could by being limp and not following their orders, they charged Kat with the very same crimes, even though she was completely cooperative.
Really? Oh.
Well, Lauren, that's not the first time you've had to be carried somewhere, is it?
That's right. Also did similar things down in New London, Connecticut, when the eminent domain controversy was happening there with Suzette Kilo and the crew of people that were having their homes stolen.
Right.
Oh, good for you, Lauren. Wow.
Yeah, you were brought into court, and why don't you tell them about that? Well, that was an interesting thing that you did there in court.
I just did nothing. I don't speak or ask for an attorney or anything like that. Just stay completely silent.
Right. Right. Well, they wanted you to sign the bail agreement, right? Which you would not do. Correct?
That's right. I don't sign anything or agree to bail.
Right. So they handcuffed you, and you wouldn't walk out of the courtroom. You made them drag you out.
That's right. Yes, even when they're releasing me, I don't walk. I have them throw me out of the courtroom or the police.
Your wrist must be getting sore by now. Oh, you're too much.
Wait, I bet Ray is smiling all the way in from Oregon, Elaine. Boycott, boycott, boycott.
Oh, yes.
Maybe it's the fun way. Ray, if you're listening, this is the fun way to boycott. Lauren, I'm sure we're going to have you on again. Please keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Talk to you guys soon, I hope. Come up and
all right.
Visit.
Rally from the hillside, gather from the plain, shout. Rally around the flag, boys, rally once again.
Okay, we're back
the battle cry of
with Lane Brown. Lane, it's great to hear your voice. You sound great.
Hi, Fred. Oh, those two are funny.
Wow.
Lauren, she is so funny. And she can't even weigh 100 pounds. You know, she's a little bit of a thing.
Oh, gosh, yes. She has this very, very earthy, friendly, motherly, look in her eye. Wouldn't harm a fly.
Yes, she's just a very unassuming, very quiet person. You would never think she would be someone who would have the courage to engage in all this civil disobedience. But she's right in there, I'll tell you. We need more like her.
Well, you know, it kind of culminated to use the Berlin Wall effect that happened back in 1989. It takes, just a little bit of courage from a lot of people to add up to a lot that can, sweep a lot of this junk away, sort of like, debris that's backing up the waters of justice, backing up the waters of truth in our world. And, it doesn't, it just takes a little bit from a lot of people to make a huge, massive difference.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, in any event, Elaine, we're going to have another couple of visitors sometime any minute now. Stephen Hertzberg and Jim Condit, they're working feverishly to help develop and evolve this network of people around the country that are not only supporting Ron Paul but are standing up for what's really required in any political process. You have to have a fair and accurate vote in anything you do, and right now we know concretely across the board that they're stealing our votes.
Oh, yeah.
The judicial system has been stolen from us because they're changing, altering transcripts. They're not allowing evidence. They're not allowing, motions, just like in your case with Ed. So, it's the same model everywhere you go. It's garbage in, garbage out. So,
And the thing is, Fred, they're so blatant about it. I mean, they're not even trying to cover it up anymore. It's like, we're going to do this, and we dare you guys to do something about it.
Well, like in Iowa, every year they've had this Ames, Iowa straw poll, and it's very folksy, homey. They count it by hand. Never ever had a problem counting by hand. It was all done in the light of day. Everybody saw. Here's a chalkboard. Here, various groups, and all the people could watch the 200 to 300 vote count in each little section of all these caucuses. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, because Ron Paul is coming through like a Mack truck in the consciousness of Americans, they decide to bring in 60 Diebold machines into this straw poll.
Oh, they did, really?
Oh. Yeah, oh, yeah, they're competing in the machines, and so hopefully...
You need people to refuse to use them.
Well, we're trying our best to get a whole bunch of peers. The concept is vote in the sunshine. Vote in the sunshine.
Uh-huh.
Don't vote in the darkness. Vote in the sunshine. Vote out in a place, in a way that your vote can be counted. Your vote can be fairly shared and counted and confirmed. So,
right. Yeah.
So anyway, hopefully Steve will be calling in here, but. Anything new? Share with everyone. Anything new happened last night, today, this morning?
Gee, fortunately, no. It's been quiet.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have people coming in any day now. Over the next week, people will be coming in. So, as usual, you know.
Great. We have Jim on the line. Jim, Elaine Brown's on.
Hi, Fred.
Yeah, hey,
and Jim. I've just kind of given you your background of what we're trying to do in Ames, Iowa, but I also, is Stephen Hertzenberg, was he able to get on, Hertzberg? Yeah, okay. Jim, I'm going to engage you to dialogue with Elaine directly in this conversation. Leave me out of this and try to tell Elaine what it is we're trying to do and put her in a dialogue so that it's not just you speaking. I want you to speak to Elaine and tell Elaine what needs to be done in Ames, Iowa, for this movement of authenticity in the voting, the fairness and the sunshine can be manifested.
Okay. Well, Ames is like a trial run for the rest of the country for this election, and the election, needless to say, not only at the presidential level and down, is important, but we can get in some public officials who want to follow the law instead of going on this very unconstitutional course that has you two in the situation you're in because you tried to stand up for your rights. So Ames is a trial run.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, Jim. Yep.
Okay. So we're trying to – they're planning to use these very suspicious Diebold machines that are really discredited. If you go if somebody goes onto YouTube and punches in Diebold Princeton University, they will come up with a 9-minute video that just shows them right on the spot how these machines are completely riggable. So we're going to be having Vote in the Sunshine movement there and T-shirts and so forth with hundreds of people demanding that we have a vote in the sunshine.
Mm.
And,
you know, it's interesting, Jim, that you mentioned Princeton.
Rally
round the flag, boys, rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom. Rally from the hillside, gather from the plain, shouting the battle cry of freedom.
Okay, we're back with Jim Condit Jr. He's the founder of Citizens for a Fair Vote Count. The website is votefraud.org. And Jim, Elaine was just making a comment right before the commercials came on. Elaine, you still got that thought?
Yeah. When Jim mentioned Princeton, it just rang a bell that Princeton does all the administrating for all the college and high degree testing. What's with Princeton? Do you know? I mean, what the connection is here?
Incidentally, can you hear me, Fred? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, because I'm going under some telephone wires. I'm about to be in a place where you'll be able to hear me fine, but if I break up, I'll be right back. Elaine, it's students and I believe a professor at Princeton University that did this as part of their program. So it isn't. I don't think it's technically the university itself, except it was done. It was done under the auspices of the university, though. It was like part of one of the programs. There is a professor, And if people do that search for Diebold, that's D-I-E-B-O-L-D, Princeton University, they're going to find another clip right by it, a three-minute clip on Fox News that actually let them tell their story. I mean, Fox News, we often find slanting stuff, but here they let them tell the story. And the, Steve Doocy and the other gal on Fox and Friends were obviously realized that Diebold machines and all these computer machines are a big problem when they got done doing their demonstration. Now, if I could, for just to make clear, what we're asking them to do at Ames and in Iowa and in New Hampshire, where they do it correctly for half in half of the state, and in the rest of the states where they do it wrong, we want to get rid of all machines, all computers, and have the paper ballots counted by hand by the people right as the thing closed. Now, in New Hampshire, you still do that correctly in half of the state. You're the only state. You're the only state at the general election that does it right in half the state.
Yeah, the paper ballots and manual counting is really the only way to go. I mean, we look what happened with both last presidential elections, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
either time, we can doubt Bush's actual being voted into office.
Right. Now, the reason this is so important, in Ames is one of the few places we can confront, you might say we can confront them in a place where we can bring the issue to the fore. Because that's a place where there's actual people there, everybody's voting on the spot, and we can educate the 20,000 people that are going to come, and even during the event, demand that there be an open count. But see, our whole country is being stolen because of the fact, in my judgment, that for the last 20 years, we've had all of our elections, except for part of New Hampshire, in the general election, counted on these mysterious and unverifiable computer systems.
Absolutely.
And this is why we have so many bad congressmen, so many bad senators. I don't say every election has been fixed, but a lot of them, I believe, have been fixed. Arlen Specter in Pennsylvania, whose state is halfway between where I am and you are, I'm in Ohio, he was losing until the last few ballots last time. And daggone it, if when the last computer things, when the last computer batches went through, he came out and won, even though he was losing all night. Well, he's a big establishment guy, and I believe most of these people in the Senate are put there by computer fraud. They would not win if we had an open and honest count.
Well, you know, a few years ago, that book came out, Vote Scam, which was really an eye opener.
Yeah, was that you're talking about Vote Scam, the Stealing of America?
Yeah.
Well, you know, and our Cincinnati part of that, we're chapter 12 in that book. What happened in Cincinnati? I had worked with the Colliers for about 13 years before the second of, but they both died in the 90s, you know. But
I didn't know that.
Yes, well, but no, that's an important book. Black Box Voting is an important book, and we have a lot of free information on votefraud.org. And there's a few other books. I think there's one called Hacking, I think, or something like that, that came out of a group of two ladies in Texas. Hacked. I think it's called Hacked, H-A-C-K-E-D. So there's a few books getting out there now about this. Now, I'm going to, Elaine, could I ask you a question about your situation up there?
Sure.
Do you stand convicted by the court, or is it a misdemeanor? Is it a felony? What is it?
No, we're convicted of felonies.
Okay.
Okay.
The reason I'm bringing that up is because I was talking to a few people off, you know, about since I was on the last show with you.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, we really need bad a congressional candidate in New Hampshire to get on the ballot to get some of these ads over. See, congressional candidates and Senate and President can force ads over the AM stations. They have to take your ad, and they cannot modify it, you see?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we're really looking for somebody with guts in Iowa and New Hampshire to get on the ballot, which, quite frankly, only takes 50 signatures. So I was thinking, if either maybe you or Ed might become the candidate for several reasons, if it's still possible. See, I don't know. Some states have a law. I don't know. If you're convicted of a felony, I don't know if that disqualifies you to run for office or not. I suspect it might. The reason I don't think it does, though, is because Lyndon LaRouche ran for president from within jail. But there's two reasons for this. One is we need to get a bunch of messages on a bunch of subjects to the people in New Hampshire. But the second reason is so that you and Ed could talk directly to the people of New Hampshire and explain to them, because the whole thing they want to try to do these cases is to dehumanize the target, you know, dehumanize so that if they come in and arrest you or something, then everybody's supposed to go, oh, well, they deserve that. But if you're talking to the people for the next 6 months, I think you could really get a lot of important message and explain to people what's going on up there, because I have to guess the news media is not really telling your story that well.
Of course not.
Well, yeah. We can tell it through those radio ads. So. Anyway, if you got somebody up there you can trust, I'm sure you do have people you can trust. Maybe they could call Fred and get a hold of me, and I'll tell them how to research quickly, if that's possible. And maybe you could talk to your husband about one of you two doing this, because it would. Nothing bad could come out of it, because we could get messages straight to the people. Anyway, so I just thought I'd throw that out.
Oh, yeah. Interesting thought, Jim. Yeah.
Okay.
Elaine, maybe Lauren and Kat could run.
who are they, Fred? Who are they?
Go ahead. Tell them, Lauren. Elaine.
Oh, Lauren and Kat were, was it just a few days ago, Fred? They were arrested at the one of the IRS offices here in New Hampshire for demonstrating. Lauren is an old hand at civil disobedience and demonstrating and getting herself arrested and turning her back on the court. She's a little dynamo. She is.
Well, anybody that's got guts and is willing to put their all the person running has to do is say, paid for by Lauren Smith or whatever. And then they can let you or anybody else talk for the rest of the 60 seconds. So it's a real way to get messages through to the people. And if she runs in a part of New Hampshire, or he, whoever does it, and the part of Hampshire where we have a hand count, they might do a heck of a lot better than people think. You know, if they run run where there's computers, I have a feeling that we're going to lose for some reason. You know.
Jim, are you saying for the entire country, only half of New Hampshire and part of Iowa use the hand count?
No, Iowa only uses the hand count at the caucus. At least they did. That's the unofficial Iowa caucus that comes around in February. At the general election, when we have a primary in May or when we have the general election in November, 49 states use completely one of these four crooked computer companies: Diebold, Election System Services, Sequoia, and Hart. You know, there may be a few little ones here and there, but those four count like 98% of the vote. And then 49 states use them, and one half of New Hampshire around Manchester uses them. I think they use ES&S in Manchester, but I'm not totally sure. But sometimes they trade companies, but I believe it's all the same company. I believe it's all the same Rockefeller, Rothschild money. It's all the same program, and they count the votes. The whole issue you got to realize is if they're counting the votes where we can't get at the ballots, obviously they're doing that so that they can rig the result. No normal person would say to his fellow Americans, now, we're going to take the vote in the back room, we're going to count it, and if you want a recount, we'll do it 3 weeks from now. That's what the rules are in these 49 and a half states. Only in half of New Hampshire do they do it right. So, as Fred has said to me off the air, this is like stealing money from a bank, except it's worse, because as they steal these elections, if they need to, sometimes they may just by the mere force of publicity, you know, get their guy elected. But if they're when they're stealing the key elections they need to, like when a guy like Ron Paul catches fire, they're going to, that's when they bring the computer fraud in, then it's stealing the whole direction of the country, it's stealing the whole direction of the world. So it's a crime of the highest order, and we're going to try to demonstrate that and bring that out in the open at the Ames straw poll, because at this silly, and I shouldn't say silly, it's a small event in the overall, where they could easily have 60 teams at each of the stations count the votes within an hour after it's over, where everybody could see who really won. Instead of that, they're going to have these machines that count the votes in secret. The vote disappears from the voter a second after he punches it, and then we can't nail down what kind of an audit, so-called, they're going to do afterwards. But they're not going to even check the machines until after they announce the vote, and the five TV networks announce it all over the country, which is all they want. Because then, if we say, oh, no, wait a minute, or even if their audit shows that something went wrong, they'll say, oh, no, sore losers, it's confusing, we're not sure, you know, the vote was already announced. So that's the main thing they want to do, is effectively get that thing announced all over the country before we have a chance to check whether the machines really gave us the right count or not.
Well, as you say, it's
definitely
the highest order.
I want you and Ed to count my vote.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Are the Browns still in the manual vote part of the state? Plainfield, Lebanon.
I believe we are, Fred. Yeah.
Wow. So the window is almost totally closed, but you are the last part of the country in the light. Great.
Yeah, I remember the last election. I voted for NOTA. I wrote an NOTA, none of the above.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow.
Right, right.
Well, Jim, I think a press conference on the property of the Browns in highlighting this fact at some point in the future during this season is in order.
Well, I'm certainly planning to come up to New Hampshire after Ames. We can kind of rally there are many people in New Hampshire already aware, but we want to rally especially the Ron Paul campaign officials and get ready to have people at all of the precincts in New Hampshire, which I think there's about 220 of them. I might be wrong in that, but they got to have people at all the precincts, and 110 of them, let's say, are counted right. Well, you got to see what happens there, and then the other 110, we want to at least quickly check whether their vote varies greatly from the rest of the state, you see. And we need to warn them. We need to warn New Hampshire that. But see, if we could get some ads on starting now, we could build some public opinion. Why do they want to count half the state in secret? Throw the machines out. Do it the way you do it in the rest of the state. We might be able to get somebody in the state legislature to get a movement going for the state legislature to just order the governor and the secretary of state to have a hand count everywhere. And I believe if that happens, Ron Paul would win the primary up there.
Yeah, I'm sure. When is the Ames thing happening, Jim?
August 11th, which is about two and a half weeks from today.
Okay, yeah. And coming to New Hampshire after that?
After that, I'm planning, I still got to work all the details out, but I know two people that know the head of the Ron Paul campaign up there, and I'd like to, have a meeting with the key leaders so they got to start now to get ready for the primary. And if we can get a gutsy congressional candidate on up there, then, and remember, we're not talking an impossible dream, but that, to run as an independent, it takes a few thousand signatures. But if somebody gets on the ballot for the Republican primary or the Democratic primary, they can get on for 50 signatures. They just collect 50 valid signatures, pay maybe, I think, $100, and then they're on. And they have to take, they're on the ballot. They're not just running as a write-in. They're on the ballot. And I would say we go to win then, too, because there's enough sentiment in New Hampshire. We could use the old George Wallace phrase of years ago. I wasn't a fan of George Wallace, but he definitely shook up the establishment. And he remember in 1968 his whole campaign was send them a message. Hello.
What did he say, Jim?
His whole campaign theme was send them a message. In other words, a vote for Wallace was sending the establishment a message. We could do that for the congressional candidate. So I'd say there we can go straight to win the whole thing if we can get a hand count of that congressional district.
Hello,
Elaine, we hear you. Hello.
Maybe she's losing contact with us.
Yeah, Elaine.
You might.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, okay. I lost you there for a few seconds.
Yeah.
So, Elaine, I was saying we could go to win that race if you or your husband or this other one of these other people who's really gutsy and kind of Ron Paul type candidates, I think they would have a chance to win. And I think people from all over the country would pour in money to help get these radio ads on the air to tell the people of New Hampshire what's happening.
Yeah. We'll have to get Lauren to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Lauren Canario.
Yeah, there you go.
Half hour, Jim.
She's what?
She was on the air on the show in the first half hour.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Well, listen, if somebody can have her call me and I'll go over what we need to do and she can at least research it. But no, this is I've done this in Cincinnati, although we have computer counts here, but the radio stations hate it. In fact, I tried to use I put an ad on in New Hampshire. There's
Hang
the music.
On. That thought, we'll be right back to close the show off.
Rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom. Rally from the hillside, gather from the plain, shouting the battle cry of freedom.
Okay, we're back. Closing out the show with Elaine and Jim Condit. Jim, I just want to, in the last few minutes here, mention if people are interested in this vote in sunshine effect and what we're going to try to do in Ames, Iowa. The gentleman who was the founder of this website, who's going to come on with us this half hour, Stephen Hertzberg, Ron Paul Online. .com is the website. Please visit there. All the stuff is on there. A Vote in Sunshine, that is on there. We want to encourage everybody to sign up to ronpaulonline.com. Become a part of the Iowa Straw Poll Rally, the Ron Paul Effect. And a lot of people from a lot of walks of life are backing not only Ron Paul, but the return to the rule of law, the return to constitutional limited government. And I think it's going to go beyond Ron Paul here, Jim. It's going to go back to kind of the sovereign individual stand Ed and Elaine are making, which is like what Lauren did, Elaine. Just going back to basics. Stop endorsing, stop supporting evidence of fraud, evidence of corruption, evidence of stealing our votes, and get back to basics.
Right, Jim. I'm going to need your phone number. Do you want to give it now, or wait until after the show?
Well, let me. Can you give it, Fred? Can you give it off air? Because I like to talk to people, but there's not enough time in a day if we give out my phone number over the air. Everybody,
okay.
I get tons of calls. But you give Elaine my phone number off the air if you would, Fred. Okay.
Okay. We'll hang on after the show and get it.
Guy didn't hear that.
Yep.
Fred, I'll hang on after the show is over. You can give me that number. Is that okay?
Definitely. Okay. And again, I mean, just imagine 49 and a half states. There's only one half of one state, and that's the half of the state that Ed and Elaine are living in.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
this has been, Fred, what they've done is, as I said, that's why people can believe, if they want, that this has all happened by coincidence, but it's the same trilateral CFR New World Order forces. They have, through the Democrat and Republican National Committee, have either persuaded or just told or twisted the arm of all the county election officials in all the rest of the 3,100 counties, except the 10 in New Hampshire that do it right, to delegate the authority to one of these four companies. That's what's happened.
I mean, that's like creating a bank, a new bank down the street that's going to steal your money.
That's right. No,
and then after they keep saying, well, keep voting, keep depositing.
Yeah, right.
And then you go back to your account, and then they want you to keep depositing. But you keep stealing my money. Why would you keep depositing money in a bank where they steal your money?
And this New World Order crowd keeps using the same tactics over and over again, because remember, in 1913, they twisted Congress's arms to delegate all of our money-issuing power to the Fed, even though that was unconstitutional, even though what they're doing in all these states is unconstitutional.
Right.
They have the right to live up to the consent of the governed, the consent of the governed, which is embodied in concept literally in the Declaration of Independence and also in the Constitution. So this secret count does not live up to the consent of the governed, because when they take the ballots from us, then the chain of evidence is broken. We never know for sure if the same ballots reemerge 3 weeks later or 2 hours later.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Of course.
So this is this whole thing ties together. Ed and Elaine, who I haven't met them. I don't need to know any more about them. They are among the top finest Americans. I'm sure they're the top 1%. Of the top 1% of patriotic Americans because of the stand they're taking. And if most Americans don't know that, then shame on most Americans. But they wouldn't be there if we had an honest vote count these last 20 years.
Right.
Elaine, thank you very much. See you tomorrow, and I'll see you on Friday. God bless.
From the hillside, gather from the plain, shouting the battle cry of freedom.